I met him on a train after a music festival. It's like a crowded train that we all got in after the festival, and we're all just fucking coming down from Mali, and
yeah.
It's like crazy. And he's like, "All right, you're in Dead Kevin." I was like, "Yeah, all right, man." and he's like, "Really funny." And then he got off the train at his stop, and he found me on Facebook. He messaged me, he's like, "Hey, that was the guy on the train. I'm directing a Netflix show, and I want you to audition for it." I didn't think it was real. I was like, "Yeah, I'm sure you're directing a Netflix show, guy from the train." And then he told me about the audition. I was like, "Oh, this is like a real casting office that I know." I was like, "Oh, this must be a real thing." And I went in and auditioned and got it.
Welcome to the Underground Comedy Podcast with Sean Joyce. For more information about our live shows, check out undergroundcomedydc.com. Hey, what's up? Thanks for checking us out. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area this weekend, we've got Joe Firestone headlining Big Hunt. Joe is a great comic who was just on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. She was really funny last time she was here, and I expect all of her shows to sell out. So if you want to grab tickets to that, you can get them on the Underground Comedy website. Our guest this week is Ryan O'Flanagan. Ryan is a Los Angeles-based comic who has a half-hour Comedy Central special and was in the Netflix show American Vandal. I met Ryan while he was on tour after he had just put out a viral video he made called The Overly Excited Tourist. It is both dumb and very funny. He made a series of these videos for Funny or Die, some of which have been viewed over 5 million times. In this interview, Ryan talks about his decision to distance himself from that character, as well as his early days in comedy, filming the Comedy Central special, and his experience as an actor.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely went through a lot of different phases. I mean, I was a heavy, heavy act out kind of comic for a long time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of most of what I did and what I knew. I was actually, when I first started, I was really, really, the first few times I did stand up were in college. Mm-hmm. And I mean, technically the first time I did stand up, I was 18. I was like a freshman. And I did stand up like 7 or 8 times in like the first 2 years. So I don't really count those. So I say I started when I was like 20, 21. But when I really, really first started, I was super, super into Dane Cook.
Yeah.
And I was, oh man, it was like brutal how much I was imitating him.
That's funny.
And people were telling me that. And I was taking it as a compliment. People would be like, oh, you're like kind of doing Dane Cook. And I'm like, I guess we just are the same kind of guy. Not realizing I was just totally ripping him off. Right. Like my own material, but just his exact cadence. And how he was always...
It's hard to
avoid. Bursting through doors and kicking, a lot of physical stuff.
Dan Cook's pretty funny.
I still think he's funny, I know everyone hates him. But
that first half hour, I remember when he dumps the water on himself. It's very funny.
It's great.
It's hard. It's hard not to enjoy it. I think you're just a little dead inside if you can't get some enjoyment out of that old Dan Cook.
Yeah.
But and I think it's hard to start. It's just natural. You're going to copy people when you start off.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I still catch myself doing it. Now it's a lot of just like friends that I have that I just see a lot, and I find myself just doing their voice. I'm like, what am I doing?
It's hard not to.
Yeah.
Especially if you are a theatrical type of person who you're going to, when you do different act outs and different voices, I think you start to, then you end up picking up on other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Unknowingly.
Yeah.
So what, did you start doing stand up in college?
So I started, when I was at, a freshman in college, a few times over the first couple of years. Then it wasn't until I was a senior that when I was in...
Where'd you go?
I went to... My freshman year, I went to UMass Amherst. That's where I first started, and I was just doing these... I was doing contests a lot, so I didn't even know about open mics.
Yeah.
I just started doing contests. That's the first 6 or 8 times I did stand-up were these contests around Mass and Rhode Island. Then when I was a senior, I transferred to Boston College, and I started doing open mics. I just messaged a couple comics in Boston for advice.
Yeah.
And a couple guys were really nice. I'm like, you should start doing open mics and maybe even start your own open mic. So I started an open mic close to my school. That's when I started doing it every night. So it was Monday through Friday. I would do 1 or 2 open mics a night. And started grinding real hard and meeting a lot of people. And that's when I first started realizing, oh, man, I'm really doing this and making friends. That's when I really fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Like the work of it.
Sure. That's a fun time. I think you look back on that time and you're like, how did I do all of that?
Oh my God. And it got so much. When I first moved to LA after college, then there was four or five open mics a night you could do. So I was doing 20, 22 open mics a week. And I started logging every open mic I would do and counting. And I would get so obsessed. I was like so crazy about it. I didn't want anyone to like work harder than me.
Wow.
So I was doing like over 20 open mics a week and working a full-time job. And it was just, I don't know how I did that.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
would never do that now. Now it's, I get right. up once or twice a week and I'm like, that was exhausting.
It's impossible to imagine going back and doing it again.
Yeah. But you have to do it. That's how you meet everyone and get your name out there.
Yeah, definitely. What was your day job then?
Oh, I was working at, Ticketmaster for a while, Live Nation.
Yeah.
For like a year and a half. Then I had
like
this
customer service,
just like data entry stuff.
Oh, okay.
And then I had another job working at this like visas and passports expediting company.
Okay.
I actually really liked that job. And there's like a lot of cool people there. But then they fired me because of stand-up. I had to like go on the road for
just taking too much time off.
Yeah. And from it was 2 out of 3 weeks I had to be gone because I was going to Montreal for Just for Laughs, which is like a huge, at the time, was a huge accomplishment. And then
what year?
That was 2014.
Okay.
And then I had a week back in L.A. that I was just going to work. And then I had to do my first little tour with my sketch group, Dead Kevin. We were going to go back to New England and do a week back there. So I had to tell my boss, I'm going to be gone 2 out of these 3 weeks. And then after that, I'm here forever.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were like, can you skip one of those weeks?
Yeah.
I'm like, skip like Just for Laughs?
Yeah.
Or skip this tour with my friends? So I was like, I really can't. I want to do both of those so badly. And they were like, well, you're fired. So they fired me and they threw me a Subway sandwich, a catered Subway sandwich party.
Well, that's nice.
That was my goodbye party.
That's nice.
Yeah. It was sad. I cried. I really liked that job. It was like 2 years. Then I did Postmates for 2 years after that.
Oh, you had worked there for 2 years and they fired you?
Yeah.
Wow. I was thinking it was like you were there for a couple of months and you're like, I'm taking 2 weeks off.
Yeah. I would have stayed, I don't know, probably another couple of years. I really liked that job. And it was the best money I had ever made.
I wonder if you tried to go back after a few months, they probably would have taken you back.
They called me a couple times and asked me to come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Just for like help with like certain projects.
Right.
And I turned it down because I was like, didn't.
Still mad at them? You're like, yeah, no, just, fuck you
guys. I felt
like
uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like it'd just be awkward, you know, to come back for a couple of weeks. And once I got fired, I got really, it took me like a week to be like, man, I really love not having a day job.
Oh, yeah.
Once you get over that like awkwardness of not knowing what to do, you're like, oh, shit, I can just sleep as long as I want.
I was a government consultant for 5 years and we lost our contract. And they kept us on in case they got this secondary contract. A small group of us, they kept paying us, but we didn't have to go to work anymore. We were just getting paid.
Oh,
and then eventually we found out we didn't get that contract. And then they gave us a severance. And so by that time, I really got used to just,
oh man,
because I didn't have to get a job because I still had a job technically. Yeah. And then it took me like 9 months to get a job after that because I was so comfortable just hanging
out.
Yeah,
you get so comfortable.
You realize it's like you don't need the job to fill up your time at all. You'll fill it up with just going to the store.
Yeah.
Jogging.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
The days will go by.
You sit and talk on GChat just the exact same way,
right?
Whether you're at work or not,
just sitting down talking to people.
It's the same.
It's mostly what your life is. Yeah. So I got fired. Then I did Postmates for 2 years. You have Postmates in DC?
Yeah.
How
was that?
I loved that at first. It was because that was when it first started. Was when I started doing it. It was like 20. Yeah, it was 2014. When I got fired. Yeah. So I did that 2014 to 2016. And when I first started, it was such good money. That's when the app first started, and then it was like really courier friendly rather than customer friendly. Then they really switched it to make it easier for the customer and started paying us less and all that stuff. But I loved it for a while, and you can work whenever you want.
Right.
And that's really when the busy hours are like dinner time, from like 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. are like the busiest hours. That's when I really started. I was making money during those hours, and that's when I stopped kind of doing open mics, where I was doing a lot less open mics. And that's when I kind of started tapering off to now, where I hardly ever do open mics and do a couple shows a week when I can.
And what do you think? Do you think that you think you're able to write and develop material quick enough just the way you're doing it?
I think so. I mean, yeah, this past year, I wrote more of that in a year than I had in 2018, I think more than I ever have. I keep like just a Word document of all my stuff. I just kind of just forcing myself to sit down and be creative.
Yeah.
And it really kind of, I think the, one of my biggest kind of, I guess kind of pillars of showing how much I've been writing and how much I've grown was the last time I was in DC at the Draft House. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'd been in DC twice, like less than a year before. I was right. at Big Hunt and then I was at Arlington Draft House yeah. a few months before that. So I was like, this is my third time in DC. If I have fans, they have seen me, they've seen this material, I have to do a whole new 45 minutes. And I did. I did a totally different 45 than the last time I was in town. And that was hard to, you know, kind of formulate that set and make it all flow and work. But I was proud of myself for doing that.
How long did it take you to do that?
Oh, man. To, like, make the set?
Yeah.
Put the set together?
Uh-huh.
Probably like a, putting it together probably like a week. That's what I did for this week's mm-hmm. show is I started to kind of work on it last weekend, kind of thinking of some, I like to open up with a few like DC kind of
right.
centric jokes to show that I know where I am.
Right.
And then kind of try to work in some new stuff and try to make it flow with the older stuff and not bore people that have seen me before. So yeah, it takes probably a week to and not then did be you, super stressed out
did
about
Did you
it.
Run that set? Or, you know, obviously you're not going to have... probably be able to run 45 minutes, but were you running parts of that or were you
around like trying to like work out the new stuff so it's not like brand new when yeah. I come here for people that are paying money to see me. I don't
right.
want to do like really stupid jokes, but sometimes you have to if it's like kind of brand new and
sure
kind of throw it out in the middle and see if people like
yeah,
it
yeah
like,
yeah
nope sorry about that one.
I thought you did it. I mean, you for performing that infrequently and doing new stuff, it came out polished, you know.
Thanks.
it didn't really feel like you were like kind of searching for your jokes, which it, you know, I do see from time to time when people don't get the opportunity to do a lot of long sets.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of short sets, and then when they have to do the real long set, it, you can tell they're really
yeah.
really searching on stage for
yeah
what's
yeah
coming.
That's why it takes me a while. I'll try to prepare for like a week and I'll try to practice and I'll time it out in my apartment. And I'll break the set down into kind of segments and time out each segment. So I'm not going super over time or below time. But mm-hmm. people that are, I mean, there was a time when I was headlining almost every weekend. Like 2017 was a really big year for me touring wise. And I was probably like at least two weekends a month I was on the road. I didn't need to prepare as much then. I could
right.
kind of, a couple of days before I was going to be there, I would try to kind of do the same set I've been doing and kind of try to figure it out. But now I hadn't been on the road now and probably since September was the last time. So it's been 3 months, 4 months since the last time I did the
road. What allowed you to tour that much back then?
In 2017, that was the year that my overly excited tourist video started coming out on Funny or Die.
Right, right.
That's when I got suddenly had like a bunch of fans and a lot of clubs were reaching out to me. And my manager, you know, then had the opportunity to reach out to other clubs and say, look, he's got like a following now.
Yeah.
Just kind of like smaller, you know, smaller rooms and the occasional big room that I would not fill out, but would
right.
still be, you know, they'd be fine with having me. and that was, so that was like a really busy year and I was grateful for it. That's also the first time I kind of realized, oh man, I get burnt out kind of being away from my friends. You know, I kind of started.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh man, is this the life for
I
me?
I think when
like everyone
I first
reaches that point.
When I first met you, you were just starting to stop doing those videos.
That's right.
And how many of those did you end up doing?
I did. I think 32 or 33.
And was Funny or Die asking you to do those videos?
Yeah. So I did. I did just one, just by myself. Put it on my Facebook. The first one. Which was on Hollywood Boulevard. It's like right by
right.
my place. Just put it on my, I didn't have like a fan page, right? I just put it on my Facebook for my friends. And it's just got a bunch of views. And I was like, whoa, I've never, you know, gotten this many views on anything. And I had people I knew at Funny or Die, and I brought it to them. I said, hey, if you want to do a couple of these, maybe. Because mm-hmm. I know they had like a big following.
Right.
That might be something we could work on together.
Yeah.
They said, yeah, let's do like three of them
mm-hmm.
in cities that I was going to be in for shows.
Right.
I did like Reno, Green Bay, and DC.
Mm-hmm.
DC was actually my second tourist video. So I was just in town for shows. And then those ended up getting more and more views. So the Reno one got like 3 million views. They said, okay, let's do a contract. I think it was like 20-something videos.
Yeah.
And so I ended up, in the end, it ended up being like 30, 32 videos. But yeah, it just got so monotonous, and I got so sick of it after a while. And
that's funny.
It started kind of affecting live shows, too. A lot of people would, it was cool to have people come out that knew me, but a lot of people were expecting me to be that character on stage. People that didn't know that I have been doing stand-up for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And people would be yelling out catchphrases during shows
that's so funny.
And trying to, you know, after asking me to say stuff on camera after, you know, tell my sister, are you joking my ass?
Whatever. Yeah.
Which is like fun, but after a while it gets kind of, I would like to, I've done that.
Did you have to say yes every time to that?
Sometimes I would say no. I mean, usually I'll say yeah.
Right.
But, you
if
know.
If they ask in a bad way.
Yeah.
Or at an inappropriate time.
Yeah, right. If they're like, if it's so ridiculous. But I'll, like, people will be like, hey, my girlfriend's a fan. One guy, my favorite was this, my guy that was like, hey, can you say to my girlfriend, hey, Melissa, are you joking my ass or whatever? And I was like, yeah, okay. So I did the video. I was like, hey, Melissa, are you joking my ass? And he was like, thanks, man. She fucking hates you. Like, she's gonna be so mad. I was like, what the fuck?
Like, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that was pretty
I kind
funny.
Of appreciate that. Yeah, man, that Ross opened up for you in Arlington.
Yeah.
And
yep.
He was like, oh, this, you got to get this guy to come to Big Hunt. This guy is so funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's like, he's got these tourist videos. And so I'm like, all right, let me watch this video. And, you know, people refer tons of stuff to me, and I hate most of everything I see.
Yeah.
And I was like, I started watching this, and I'm just like, this is, like, it seemed like, you know, kind of like young internet, like,
yeah,
just nonsense, where you're just like, I can't watch this. And after like 30 seconds, like, as it starts to become like repetitive, and then you start to get the joke.
Yeah.
You start to get that it's a joke, and like, you're not a real person trying to act that way.
Right.
Then it does become very funny. And then by the end of it, I'm like, oh, this is funny. This is very funny. But yeah, it's also, it's such a, like, it's almost like a movie script where you figure out something funny to do, and then it ruins, like, starts ruining your life.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I remember, even like my first kind of little tour I did, once those videos started picking up, and I started to become like what I was known for, which I kind of hated. But I remember going to Atlanta, and I had like a late, like a 10 p.m. show, and the 8 p.m. show was some guy who was sold out. I'd never heard of him, but he had a big following in Atlanta, and he had sold out. And I was in the green room waiting for the 10 p.m., mm-hmm. and he comes in, and I was like, hey, man, Ryan, nice to meet you. Great set. And he goes, oh, yeah, you're the internet guy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God, that sucks so bad.
Yeah.
I was like, I've been doing these videos for like 6 months. I've been doing stand-up for like 10 years.
Yeah.
I am not the internet guy.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the thing about that is when you get a little popularity from internet stuff, and you get a chance to headline because of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been doing stand-up, then you can headline. And if you haven't, then you can't.
Yeah.
And then you are an internet guy. Then you really are an internet guy. But I think you might like be perceived that way briefly until you establish yourself as an actual headliner, as you're headlining regularly. So, you know, yeah, it's like a bad feeling, but
yeah,
it's not.
But that's always like the best compliment to get after shows. People will come up a couple times and say, hey, I knew your videos. I didn't know you did stand up. Now I'm an even bigger fan of your stand up more than your videos. I'm like, oh, that's exactly what I want to hear.
Yeah, because the stand-up's more interesting than the videos. The videos are fun, but the stand-up is, you know, it's just a lot more varied in terms of what you're talking about. And obviously you have a whole hour of talking and saying what you want to say as opposed to 3 minutes or whatever. It's it's cool, though, to make the decision to stop doing them.
Yeah, I think Funny or Die, would have kept doing them. And they started, you know, they were paying for me to go places or like kind of route me through cities as I was going, you know, touring with stand up. So I would just hit up other cities that were kind of close by. But I had to tell them I just don't, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be known as just this guy. I think I have it, and I've gotten a bunch of fans from it.
Right.
And those people will always be my fan, or a lot of them will always be my fans. And, but I need to do something else.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, I know a lot of examples of people that were doing things that they weren't happy with, and then they stopped doing them, and it worked out for the best. I think it's always for the best to just follow with like what you really want to do, as opposed to like force yourself.
Yeah.
To like one person that seems kind of forced down their road is like Swardson. Mm-hmm. Like he's like locked into like being that certain that character.
Yeah.
And talking to him a little bit when I got to open for him, and I got the sense of like, he could be doing like a lot more stuff, like that would be more personal to him.
Yeah.
And, but he's just like, you know, this is already the path I'm going down. So many people expect this from me. You know,
yeah,
everybody's waiting for it.
Such a huge following so early, and it was so well deserved. That's a great special.
Oh, yeah.
Was he 23 or something like that?
Yeah.
Was,
yeah.
And
yeah, he's like a prodigy.
Yeah. And that was new special just came out, and I haven't seen it, but I heard it's awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
Yeah, he's awesome.
But I did get the sense talking to him. I was like, oh, this could be, if he wasn't so famous and was just kind of doing, and he was just doing stand up and trying to figure out what's the most interesting stand up he could do.
Mm-hmm.
It would be completely different, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
And that would be neat. But so it's cool that you stopped doing that, and then you more recently you were making the videos with the two different guys on a bench.
Just more stuff filming by myself. Just
you make,
I don't
want
to bother anybody.
Completely by yourself?
Yeah, I just get a tripod and just set up each way.
Is that
the two shots?
That's the reason for it. You don't want to bother anybody?
Yeah, it's easier. Just, you know, self-produce these, and I also like how it's fucking like cheesy and stupid look. That are clearly just like set up a tripod. But those obviously don't have as big a following as the tours videos, and I haven't gotten like, I don't think I've gotten any new fans from those videos, but I like them so much more. I think that those are so much more funny and more my sense of humor.
I like them more too.
Thanks, man.
I think funny.
And I sold them now to Chuckler.
Oh, cool.
Which is just like a Facebook page, and gave me a little money to make 10 videos, and I wasn't getting any money from them before, so now we'll see.
You're making 10 more?
Yes, they took like 10 old ones, and I had to make 10 new ones, and then
that's cool.
Give me a little money, and you know, whatever. They're
that's
not getting
awesome.
A huge following anyway, so might as well make a little money from it.
Well, I think it's cool to, if you have people that are interested in you, it's nice to like put stuff out every once in a while.
Yeah, just kind of stay out there.
Yeah, just so that, you know, people get reminded of you and see it, and then also, you're like, you know, you're just experimenting with different ways of being funny,
mm-hmm.
and like developing like slightly different characters.
Yeah.
That obviously people can see and then decide to put you in stuff because of it.
Yeah.
But it's another like, it's funny. I didn't realize, you know, all these things about you in terms of, how you, when you started stand up being crazy with writing down how many mics you're doing.
Yeah. It was brutal.
But I did know that you were pretty much doing these videos by yourself,
mm-hmm.
and they're like they're pretty good lessons of like, if you're trying to really go for it stand up wise,
yeah,
you gotta do a lot on your own
for sure. And I got friends, you know, that do stand up who are so funny and don't necessarily have any sort of following or might have like shitty day jobs too,
right?
And they're so talented, but also kind of don't really try to produce any, like, just film something, put something on the internet, write a new a vlog or a podcast or something. People that try to just get by on stand-up,
right?
Even if you're so funny, it's not gonna happen, no matter how funny you are. If you're like, if no one knows who you are, just put something on the internet.
Absolutely.
Some dumb video, something.
Yeah. And when even if you are funny enough that people start paying attention to you, they're going to want to know what else you have to offer.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like a lot of people are just like, a lot of industries just going to like say like, oh great, Well, you just keep doing stand up. You're doing a great job doing stand up and you just keep doing that and everything's going to be fine.
A lot of people just expect that.
It's like the old school way of talking about it. It's mm-hmm. like stand up is everything. Stand up's the most important thing. It's like the pure art form and it's what really matters. And I think that like just filters down to younger comics, and when you're young and you're doing the mics, you don't see the other part of it. You're really seeing the stand up side of it, And so you focus on that. And it's like the kind of the first thing you know how to focus on.
Yeah. I mean, it's so rare to see that just work out for people. People that just only want to focus on that.
Right.
And they get a huge success from it. That almost never happens. When it does, it's great. But so many people expect it. And I just it's so unrealistic.
Do you feel like stand-up is still the most important thing to you compared to acting?
No, I'd rather act. For
really?
Sure. Yeah. I think if I mean, I always tell myself, but I don't know. It's kind of a, I feel like it's such a love-hate relationship with stand-up. I think probably a lot of us do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if I could get by or have, like, a lot of success with acting someday, I'd probably just stop doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Just because it's, like, it's fun. Like, last night was so, like, that first show was so much fun.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of shows that you're like, yeah, this is why I want to do this.
Right.
Because of shows like this. But then, like, the anxiety of, just like I told you, I've been preparing for, like, a week just for, like, this weekend. So I don't like totally fuck up, and just like the anxiety of that, of the before the show and the, you know, after the show talking to people.
Yeah. Does that give you anxiety too?
Sometimes if there's like a lot of people that know me that like want to talk after that, you know, like last night was only a couple people knew who I was, but sometimes like a lot of people will come out and that'll be real stressful. But a lot of the week leading up to it, my God, I got to friggin' hope I don't get sick. I gotta have like a good week leading up to it.
But you don't feel that way when you do acting stuff?
Not yet. I mean, it's also like, you know, that might someday happen too, where I get kind of just like burnt out on it and crazy anxiety. But I still to this day really look forward to any role I get and performing. And
yeah. Did you take acting classes when you got to LA?
Yeah, for a little while, just a few months. But it's like this renowned kind of like TV kind of acting class, like sitcom acting, which is like real useful for just like what most of us are trying to audition for rather than like some theatrical or whatever.
Right.
It's real just like the technical part of auditioning and stuff. One of those kind of classes, and which I learned a ton from. And then I started touring a lot. So then I had to stop doing that class because they meet like during the week and on weekends and stuff. And I just like couldn't go to a lot of the practices and stuff. But I did learn a lot. And I do want to go back because you do kind of start to get like, if you haven't acted in a while, you get really bad.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, for sure.
I know nothing about it. Was American Vandal like the most acting you've done?
That was the biggest role I've had for sure. That was like my first recurring role in a thing, which is really cool. I was really grateful. I got that just because I met the director like on a, did I tell you that story?
No.
The director knew Dead Kevin.
Wow.
And I met him on a train after a music festival. It's like a crowded train that we all got in after the festival. And we're all just fucking coming down from Mali. And
it
was like crazy. And he's like, all right, you're in Dead Kevin. I was like, yeah, all right, man. and he's like, really funny. And then he got off the train at his stop. And he found me on Facebook. He messaged me. He said, hey, that was the guy on the train. I'm directing a Netflix show. And I want you to audition for it. I didn't think it was real. I was like, yeah, I'm sure you're directing a Netflix show. Guy from the train. Yeah. And then he told me about the audition. I was like, oh, this is like a real casting office that I know. I was like, oh, this must be a real thing. And I went in and auditioned and got it. Yeah, that's been my biggest role so far. But as far as acting, a lot of that was mostly improv.
Yeah.
So like I just filmed my first feature, which is like an independent movie. I don't know if anyone will ever see it, but it's these guys, they have a couple movies on Netflix. Hopefully this one will get on Netflix. But that was probably my biggest role. It's going to be called, The Block Island Sound. It's kind of a sci-fi kind of thriller, not comedy, which is cool because I want to do kind of everything. That was probably my biggest role, acting.
And were you're like, how big is the role?
I'm like, it's kind of a funny, because it's like a kind of intense thriller. It's like in this family, that's like a family drama where weird stuff's happening. And I'm like just kind of a friend of one of the family members who's just like staying with them for the week. And like nothing like weird or crazy happens to me. I'm just kind of like the guy who's just there.
Uh-huh.
It's like such a funny kind of role to play. It was like one of my favorite scenes. Like there's one of the characters is kind of seeing like this, the ghost of his dad is like in the room and he's kind of freaking out and he's like crying. And I've don't see him, so I'm fiddling with the VCR, but the TV is like all staticky and weird because there's a fucking ghost in the room. I'm just going, I just bought this DVD. So I'm like that character.
That's
like,
pretty funny.
What's going on? Yeah, so it's like, if you know me, you would definitely laugh at that.
Yeah, it seems like a joke, but it's that's pretty funny. Do you know when that's supposed to come out?
I don't know, because it's these two writers for American Vandal. So after we filmed that, they had to go back to shoot season two.
Oh, okay.
And they're hoping to get a season. It got canceled by Netflix, but they're hoping to get a season three going. So they're pretty busy.
They're
so
gonna try to sell it to somebody else.
Yeah. That's so cool. So we'll see. Hopefully sometime next year.
How was it doing the half hour?
The half hour was cool. It was everyone said it came out fine. I lost my voice the night before, like really bad.
From being sick?
From doing karaoke.
Oh, wow. What
really went for it at karaoke. I sang Evanescence, Bring Me to Life, and I sang the girl part, real high pitched.
Wow.
The night before, and a bunch of us did karaoke. Everyone else was...
Were you with other people doing half hours?
Yeah.
Doing karaoke?
Langston did it. He sang a Garth Brooks song. But I did a duet with a girl that works at Comedy Central. I blame her.
Okay.
But I totally lost my voice. So I had to like drink tea and all this, you know, cough drops. And people said it came out fine. I haven't watched it.
Most people also don't know what your voice really sounds too. Like. Yeah. Like 95% of people.
Yeah.
It's not. We're not going to be able to
know
that you sound hoarse on it.
So I had to go back like for a lot of jokes. My voice kept giving out and cracking, and I had to like start jokes over. So after like 7-8 minutes in the set, I had to just stop and be like, listen, sorry I keep starting jokes over. I went out, there's a bar that everyone knows, it was called Cajun's, I think. I went out, I did karaoke at Cajun's last night, and the crowd was like, yeah, we know Cajun's. And then, because you could tell they weren't totally with me at the beginning. Yeah. And I was nervous about my voice and recording my special, and I just kind of broke down. I was like, they'll edit this out, but just so you guys know, this is why my voice keeps cracking. And then they were with me, and I had to keep starting jokes. And every time I had to start a joke over, the crowd would laugh because they knew what was happening. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I finished, and I went backstage. Then they have, like, the voice of God, like, mic throughout the whole theater. And they're like, Ryan, can you come back? We have to do a couple more jokes. So they, like, actually do that in front of everyone. I had to go back and do... couple jokes that I had to get because my voice would crack or I was holding my glass of water weird or whatever.
So you have to do, did you have to do the same joke that you had just done?
Yeah.
Start to finish the same exact joke?
Usually I wouldn't make it all the way to the end, but I would have to start like the setup over
and
stuff like that. But yeah, at the end when they brought me back out, they would be like, can you, I think it was just one setup that they had me start over again. And but my voice kept cracking because I was like done at that point. I just done the whole half hour. Yeah. Now my voice was like totally gone. So I'm coming out and just trying to talk, and my voice would not work. And the crowd was just like loving it.
Really?
I'm like, I love that you guys are enjoying this. This like sucks for me, but I'm enjoying it.
Maybe it's more
interesting. I like that you're liking it.
How many? Do you know how many they had to watch in that one? That group of people all at once.
For the people that they chose to do it,
like how many the people in the
or
audience
or the crowd?
Yeah, how many
they
sets
watched,
were they watching?
They watched two. They watched
only
that
two,
crowd
okay.
watched me and Langston. We did ours together. Langston Kerman, great comic.
Yours,
check him out.
Yours took an hour and a half.
Yeah,
you're,
it took so
you're
long.
On stage for an hour and a half, and then he had to go up and do his.
I felt so bad. I did go first too.
That's funny.
And then they that crowd leaves, and they bring a new crowd in and do two more people. So they did four different half hours that night. The next night they did four more. I think that was eight total, I think. Or maybe that was 10.
Even if I just mess up a line, two lines into a joke, and I have to start over, I can barely bring myself to do
you
it.
I feel very stupid.
It's because it really takes the whole illusion of stand-up away when you're
for
repeating
sure.
verbatim word
but
for word.
But a lot of it is like, even what we were talking about with last night, how the crowd was last night, just kind of faking it and just... pretending to be happy and trudging through. That's how you gotta just, I know that you guys have heard this exact sentence just a couple seconds ago, but here, I'm gonna say it again and pretend I'm saying it for the first time.
I mean, that's a good attitude. I guess that's kind of like acting, you know.
It is.
You're
that's pretty
acting.
Much just acting at
Do
that point.
Do you think that helped you out a lot with that?
For sure. That's all it is at that point.
Yeah,
you're
because
just, kinda just reciting
I'm trying,
lines.
Because like, I don't want to be acting, right? You know, like I want to be pure and genuine.
Exactly.
But really, when you're doing stand-up, you are acting because you're saying the same thing every night for the most part.
Yeah.
You're saying your jokes.
Yeah, and especially in that situation where you're just, I know you just heard this. Let's all pretend that we didn't just hear
but
this.
But I want the audience to believe that
exactly.
is a unique experience.
Yeah. And they'll add fake laughs.
That they're having. Yeah, right. They do know how to clean it up and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
You go on a lot of auditions?
A little bit. I go on some audits. It's been slow recently. I got lucky last year. I've been doing like a lot of commercial auditions, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
which, like, you know, that's not for my career, but great just for money and getting by.
I would see you, like, probably 3 or 4 times, maybe 5 times a day.
What, with the, like, Sprint commercial?
With the Sprint commercial,
that
yeah.
one I heard a lot. That was great.
Yeah, every football game. Yeah, that was cool. Like 4 times.
Yeah.
Do you watch football?
Yeah, so I got to see myself. Did you see yourself? Yeah. Which is pretty cool. Wish I had some lines. I still haven't. I've done, I don't know, 6 or 7 commercials. I've never had a line.
Really?
I've always just been there nodding, smiling.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, you just stand there.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. I know, like, when you first see comedians you like get into commercials or TV shows or movies and stuff, they're never doing anything. Because, yeah. you know, you start off with the smallest parts, and it's so frustrating. You're like, this is the funniest person that's, like, in this.
Yeah, he's just,
but they're not doing anything there. Yet.
Just got a look that they like.
Yeah, it is fun to get to see comics who are early in their careers get to be on national TV regularly for yeah. those commercials.
And you can see why. I mean, some comics that you'll see, just their demeanor, just their face, their hair. Yeah. You're like, that guy needs to be in every commercial. And yeah. It'll happen.
Yeah.
They'll find that person. It almost always works in LA, at least.
Yeah.
You'll just, like, no, that guy is going to figure it out for sure.
You say you just did your third Taco Bell commercial?
My third Taco Bell. And it's not the same people that are casting it, too. It's 3 different casting offices.
Your natural Taco Bell fit.
I got a Taco Bell face mask, people keep yeah. saying.
And what do you do in the commercials?
This one, the first one, I was, I lost my phone under the seat of my car. So I'm in my car. I'm in, like, a suit at work. And I'm reaching down for my phone, and my face is pressed against the steering wheel. And then it's like, that was when there was Taco Bell breakfast songs. They were going, when your morning is hell, something, something, Taco Bell. And so then it was like, I'm reaching for my phone, and I'm all upset. Then I look up, and I see Taco Bell, and everything's fine. Like, you know, who cares about my shitty phone? Yeah. And the next one that was just straight up taking a bite of a quesadilla, and that was it. It was, like, nothing funny. And it was, they wanted me to get that perfect, like, stretch of cheese. So they had to make it super hot so the cheese would, like, string out like that. So I was taking these unbelievably scalding hot bites.
Did you burn your tongue over and over again?
Over and over again. And they kept being like, you okay? It's not too hot. I'm like, no, it's fine. I just want to just get through this.
Yeah. And that was, how long does that take?
So I took probably, like, 40 bites, and they have, like, a spit bucket you can spit them in. And that one was so stupid. That was just taking a bite. It didn't even look like me. They, like, gelled my hair weird, and they gave me, like, a leather bracelet and looked like a rock star guy.
That's funny.
It's like, why are you casting me in this? I'm thankful for it, but
maybe eventually that's what you're going to turn into.
Yeah,
maybe they could see it. They can see your future. They're like, this is what you really are. You know, you think you're just a regular guy, but you're going to be the rock guy.
You're the rock star Taco Bell.
You're going to be the Dane Cook eventually.
The Dane Cook of Taco Bell. Oh, and the third one was, I just did that one. That hasn't aired yet, but it was with Adam Devine, which is cool. Got to do a commercial with him. I just play a boom operator. And at the end, we have, like, a little back and forth. But that's at the end of, like, the 60-second version, which won't air on TV, only on internet. But the 30-second, I don't know if I'll even be in the 30-second. I'm just, like, holding a boom, and then he goes, he gets up, and he turns out. He didn't know that he's in a commercial. Then he gets up, and he goes and gets Taco Bell, and they cut to the wide shot, and he's, like, in a set, and I'm just the boom guy, and that's it.
Hey, man, that's
I'll take it.
That's still good. We didn't talk about Dead Kevin.
Yeah.
So when did you start that?
Dead Kevin started. Yeah, I was, like, the first kind of big-ish thing I did when I first moved to LA. Just met two guys, Jack Robichaud and Ahmed Barucha. Mm-hmm. We just met doing open mics in LA,
mm-hmm.
and kind of had a similar vibe, similar sense of humor, and started doing sketches together. And that, to this day, I mean, still most of my fans that I have now that'll come out to shows will know me from the Taurus videos. It's kind of the biggest thing. But last night, just like I was telling you earlier, there was a family. It was a father, mother, and son, a family of three that came. And they're like, we've been fans of you since Dead Kevin. I'm like, oh, that makes me so happy. Because I've liked that so much more than the Taurus videos. I like everything more than Taurus videos. But I'm really proud of those sketches. And we still have a couple more that we're going to do for Funny or Die coming out. And we're all more busy now. Ahmed's got a kid and stuff, so we can't film as much as we used to. But every once in a while, we'll put something out. But I love when people come up and say that they've known me since then. Because I'm like, man, that was you're an OG fan.
What year was that?
Started in 2011, end of 2011, beginning of 2012.
And so then did you guys do anything with that? Did you that turn into a TV series?
We sold a, or we pitched a pilot to Comedy Central, and so we wrote it. They like paid us to write it, and then they didn't pick it up. So that's as far as we got.
Do you ever think about trying to do that again?
Yeah, we've got. It's so tough. We've gotten together a few times and just tried to do something else. So when we wrote that pilot, though, it was us and two other writers that our managers hooked us up with. So it was five people trying to write a pilot, yeah. And I like it. We all liked each other, but it was like just there's too many people trying to write one thing,
mm-hmm.
And it just kind of just became like a mess. And Comedy Central was like, "This pilot sucks," and so we've tried to just like do stuff on our own since then. But it's just I don't know. We're just not like either we get too busy or we're not motivated yeah. or we can't agree on something, and we're just. So I'm just kind of focusing on my own thing, writing a bunch of pilots on my own that I'm trying to get off the ground.
And what kind of stuff are you writing about?
The one I'm writing now is like kind of a non-comedy, like a sci-fi thing, which I never tried before. And I'm kind of struggling with it because I've never like not written
yeah.
a full script of non-comedy. I just think comedy's just easier. Then I have another one that's like the stupidest thing you can ever read. It's just this really dumb pilot about just a dumb guy,
uh-huh.
just me doing my dumb like character just as a man in the world, and that's
which dumb character
kind of most like the Dead Kevin kind of
okay
towards the yeah not like tourist crazy
yeah
but like a little bit of like the stumbling and can't talk
yeah.
vibe just like that guy, and just hoping people can trust that can carry a show
yeah.
which I totally get is a really hard sell, but kind of yeah in this new year kind of trying to pitch that around and see where that goes.
I really love dumb characters
yeah.
especially like when smart people are just being dumb
right.
is I think that's the funniest thing personally, like
yeah I love yeah it's my favorite kind of
like
comedy.
Will Forte
yeah
and like Rory Scovel when mm-hmm. he's acting dumb or Bargatze being dumb
yeah.
I think those are the funniest things.
Yeah.
It's so much funnier than somebody like making great points.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Or I'm even like you. Perfect jokes. Like perfect jokes are I really appreciate and I think they're really funny, but I think people just being silly makes me laugh harder.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you guys write the sketches you have coming up yet?
That's the thing is Funny or Die wants like scripts, and we just improvise. And we're so bad at, you know, writing.
Can you film them and then just write?
So that's what we did with our first. They wanted three sketches. So we did our first one. We just filmed it and sent it to them. They like wanted scripts. We're like, we actually just filmed it and they liked it. So they put it up.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did that again and they didn't like the second one. They were like, no, you have to please just write scripts and send it. So we sent them scripts and they had some notes. And then so now we're just trying to get together to film them. And then we're just kind of.
What if, can you film it? Could you just film it, then write out whatever you guys said?
And if they don't like it, then we're screwed.
Then you got to refilm it.
Yeah.
But at least you wouldn't be pissing them off in the meantime.
Right.
You would be doing what they wanted.
Yeah.
You could.
It's tough.
I don't know how labor intensive it is to film it.
We really not. It's just us and we have one camera guy. We have no sound. We just
yeah.
use the sound from the camera
yeah.
which is like our biggest people always are commenting on that or they used to on our videos be like you guys need like a sound guy your sound is terrible it's funny sketch but the sound is like so bad like yeah we're all just kind of lazy I think that's kind of just our vibe we're just like
yeah.
idiots I think that's what makes it work is like
right.
it's so low budget
yeah you know. Do you have anything that you want to promote to people
check out the Block Island Sound if it comes out on Netflix I don't know if it will.
What about social media? You got social
yeah,
media?
Yeah, check out. I'm at Ryan O'Flan on Instagram and Twitter. My Facebook page is, I think, Ryan O'Flanagan Comedy. And, yeah, check me out. Follow me.
And see the overexcited tourist, because
yeah.
that's what he's all about.
That's my main thing.
No, check out two different guys on a bench.
Yeah.
It's real funny. All right, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
For more information about our live shows, check out undergroundcomedydc.com.